James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. Okay, I read to you, okay? Go to now, you say. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gains. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Father, I pray that you just use this message to teach us about life. In Jesus' name, I pray. I'm going to talk about the uncertainties of life. The uncertainties of life. In November 1975, a huge vessel engaged in transportation of goods sank in the cold water off Lake Superior. If I'm not wrong, Lake Superior is in Canada, during a fierce storm. Before this incident happened, Robert Rafferty, the chief steward of the ship, sent a postcard to his wife. And inside the postcard was written, I may be home by November 8th. However, nothing is ever sure. Truly to him, nothing was ever sure. He died when the ship sank and he never got to see his wife. 28 other crew members perished with him, and his phrase, nothing is ever sure, was published in a news magazine. Nothing is ever sure points to the truth of the title of this message, and that is the uncertainty of life. Nothing is ever sure. The uncertainties of life. Okay, as to the phrase in James chapter 4 verse 13, come now you who say, it is uncertain to which group of people the recipient was addressed to. However, it could be the unbelieving Jews, the believing Jews, a continual diatribe. Okay, a group of people that is always attacking, opposing, okay, objecting to this truth. Okay, in today's context, I could say that this could refer to the unbelieving Christian. You know, there's such a thing, they are Christian, they are unbelieving. And even the believing Christian, that they are here today, this morning, and a group, there's always a group. And I pray that there will be no group in this church. There's always attacking. There's always objecting to ever of the teachings of God. And always want to have a hold and control. My life belongs to me. I have control over my life. I will serve God according to what I know is right. There is a group of people that is like that. We must understand the mindset of this address recipient. They say, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Okay, this refers to the Jewish businessmen. Okay, they who do not take God into account in whatever they are doing. It is an example of practical atheism. They think they are practical. I am practical. I have to think of profits. I have to think of transaction for my family. But they do not involve God. If you are in this category, then you are no different from the atheists, from the non-believers or the skeptic. The mindset is also found among businessmen today. The truth is also stated in Jesus' parable of the rich fool. You know, there are people that they are rich, but they are Christian, but they don't involve God at all. God constantly reminds every one of us that we are just a vapor. I remember that I went to Sagada. Okay, we were coming down from Sagada. And as we were driving down, Pastor Lily was with me and her two sisters were with me also. And if I'm not wrong, Jen was there and Joy was there, if I'm not wrong. And there was a mist. There was this mist. And it was just 10 meters ahead of me and I couldn't drive at all. I had to drive slowly because of the mist. But once the sunlight comes out, the mist just disappeared. We are just a mist, a vapor, like a puff of smoke. The mist is like a puff of smoke. The word vapor comes from the Greek word atmos, from which we get the English word atmosphere. The reality and the frailty fitting of the human life is often alluded to the Bible as we are a shadow. Look at your life, shadow. It appears here, but as you walk, the shadow disappears to another direction. We are like a breath. Our life is like a breath. Then you're gone. You're gone. Our life is like a cloud, the mist, as I was saying, the mist. Just appear and disappear. Our life is like the wildflower. Okay, they appear for a while, but the evening it is dried up, it is gone. Our life is full of vanity. Huh? Ecclesiastes say, life is vanity upon vanity. Or like a mist. James 4:14 say, it appeared for a little time and then vanishes away. Life is like that. Please remember. So you must think of eternity concerning life. It appeared and it vanishes away. The word appear in the Greek word is phainomin. Okay, phainomi. It sounds like another Greek word that is also mentioned here, ephaninzinomini, which means vanishes away. Life appears and suddenly vanishes away. Please remember that. Human plans come and go, but God's plans remain eternally. You know, 6,000 years ago, God has a plan at the Garden of Eden. And even unto today, the plan still remains. But 6,000 years has passed. Millions of humans has come and go, has appeared and vanishes away. None excluded. What we should be saying is, if the Lord wills, we shall do this, we shall do that. If the Lord wills, the biblical worldview attributes all knowledge and direction from God. The Lord is cast. You take the Lord, you cast it. Like we are trying to find out which house, okay, which flat to purchase in 2011. We do not know because we like a few places, and the two children and Pastor Lee and I, we were arguing. We don't have the same mind, so we cast the Lord. We put the four places and we cast the Lord. But the decision is from the Lord. The decision is from the Lord. God is all knowing. God is all knowing. And if you follow the law, God blesses the house. And He charts the course of history. He charts the planning of even Singapore's MRT system. Wake up, brothers and sisters. As believers, we must know and assert that God is involved in your life. Please, God is involved in your life. And this does not link God to evil, tragedy, or random natural acts of violence. Because we live in a spiritually fallen and a cursed world. This is not the world that God intended it for us to be. But He is active in the creation. He is still active in your life. And there is a mystery. Listen, there is a mystery in how and why individual actions live. What I'm trying to say, your individual action is part of the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God plan your individual action even because you are a child of God. Actually, if you study James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, it is a denunciation of overweening confidence in our own plan and our ability to perform them. Please, okay, the Bible says very clearly, don't trust in mortal. And you are mortal. Don't trust in your plan and your ability to perform whatever plan you want. The Lord is cast, but the decision is from the Lord. The subject here is another prevalent manifestation of pride and worldliness. Mainly, the propensity to indulge in presumptuous self-reliance in relation to the future. No, in relation to the future. We don't even know what is going to happen tomorrow. Can you tell me what is going to happen tomorrow? We don't even know. I mean, tomorrow, don't talk about the years ahead. Tomorrow we don't even know. You don't even know what is going to happen after lunch. So don't indulge in this presumptuous self-reliance in relation to the future. There's this famous saying, man proposes, God disposes. You can propose, God can dispose. Please remember that. And if ever God disposed, it's for your good.
You may not agree with me.
If ever God disposed it, God disagree and cause something to fail, He has something better for you. James rebukes the spirit of vain confidence. James appealed directly to the worldly-minded merchants and money makers. You know, the Jews, during that time, they are like ourselves. Okay? The Jews, like ourselves, they are a nation of shopkeepers. They are businessmen. They are merchants. In the early times, and now it's multiplied hundreds of times today in our society. In the early times, okay, many of them carry the product of one country. They took a product from one country and bring it to a commercial center to sell at the commercial center. The same trader can be found in the 1 year at Antioch, Jerusalem or Antioch, Turkey. Then the next day they can be at Alexandria. And the following year they can be at Damascus. And the fourth year they can be at Corinth. So they are always moving here and there for business transaction. Now James solemnly rebuked those who formed their business plan without taking into account the providence of God. No, please. James is against us. Okay, forming our business plan without taking into account the providence of God, even the uncertainty of the human life. Let's look at the COVID-19. Many churches in Singapore closed down. I mean, churches, they have now have their franchise, CCF franchise. Now the church senior pastor is not called the senior pastor, it's called the CEO, the chief executive officer. It's a very sad thing. It's a very, very sad thing. It's so sad that we run our church, our business enterprise, and yet God say to the church, judgments must begin in the house of God. What happened to the COVID? Many churches closed now. I heard in Ilor City, the rent is so high. Many churches also closed down during the COVID. We don't call ourselves the senior pastor anymore. We call ourselves the chief financial officer. The treasurer is the chief financial officer. Oh God, help me. We have church enterprise. Many airlines closed now. Philippine Airlines went into receivership. Am I correct? They declared bankrupt. Then they got to start all over again. My Prime Minister, Lee Hsien Loong, he shed a tear on state, on national television, because our main airline, Singapore SIA, went into near bankruptcy if the government did not come in and intervene. Many restaurants closed because there was zero customer for 2 years. Just recently, the border between Singapore and Johor Bahru, Malaysia, opened, and 300 to 400,000, okay, flocked into the crisscross from Singapore into Johor Bahru, because the food is always nicer and cheaper there. But they went to the mall, and many of the restaurants, many of the mall shops were still closed. You know, in Singapore, unless you have very deep pockets, you will close your business to cut losses. You will. And I look at the McDonald's. Even some of the McDonald's here was closed. Taken over by Jollibee. Unless you have deep pockets, you will cut losses. Many houses in Singapore, because of this COVID, they filed for bankruptcy. Commercial, high, big commercial buildings, bungalow houses, condominium were foreclosed by banks and put up for biddings. Put up for bidding. Just recently there was a biddings. Do you expect COVID-19? No. Do you know future? You don't know. You really don't know. Then the Ukraine war. Then the Turkey earthquake. You really don't know. Please understand, God is not against business. I say to you again, God is not against business. He is far from stigmatizing, denouncing commercial enterprise as a form of worldliness. He's not saying that business is a worldliness. No, he did not say that. God does not censure or disapprove the formation of business decision, business scheme, business desire, provided everything be contemplated in subordination to the divine will of God. If God wills, we will open this business. We will open door. And do not, it be not allowed to interfere with our spiritual consecration to God. I thank you for many of you call center workers. You make sure that you get your job in such a way that you can come to church on Saturday and Sunday. And God will bless you. Amen. See, you think of everything you do in subordination. It does not interfere with your spiritual consecration to His service. What God condemns is self-sufficiency in regard to continuation of life and activities and success. You know, I have a friend in Singapore, I told you recently. He called me recently. Okay, I remember I was with Jed and Hershey's son's birthday in Bandura. And he called and we talked for 1 hour. In a conversation, he repeatedly told me that he's very rich. How rich is he? I don't know. But he decided to move his whole family out of Singapore to Dubai. He wanted to grow his business tenfold. I don't understand why of all places you go to Dubai. And to be honest, I was surprised. Okay, because Singapore is very developed. I can safely tell you that when I recently I went and have a search on Dubai, I can safely tell you that Dubai is more developed and more modern than Singapore. Maybe that's the reason why he goes there. You don't believe? Go and do a YouTube on Dubai. Is it his own plan or God's plan? I worry for him. No, I worry for him. Did he light his own fire? In your own life, do you light your own fire? You know, I know of a Christian who separated from his wife. Okay? And he became a drunkard. And an organization approached him to be an evangelist. And he now calls himself an evangelist. Pastor Lily makes fun of him and said he is a drunken evangelist. Because he's a drunk. Is he called an evangelist by God? Or does he light his own fire? Or he calls himself an evangelist? God rebukes the practical atheism which will shut God from business arrangement. You know, men, we are prone to ignore the eternal law, eternity, and exclude from our calculation the sovereign will of God, and remember that God is a great disposer. Man proposes, God disposes. How apt busy men are to act as if they are lord of their own life when we allow the spirit of worldliness to steal over our soul. What I'm trying to say since I started this sermon, the uncertainty of life. There are a few truths that we got to learn about the uncertainties of life. Number one, there is the uncertainty of life. Not a day passes by. Please remember that. Without a reminder that our earthly life can come at an end at any moment. The newspaper, the television, the radio, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives will inform us every day that another life has just passed away. You know, I'll never forget the experiences of Pastor Lily and I in the early years of our ministry here. Pastor Lily received a phone call that her father passed away. To say that Pastor Lily was shocked was an understatement. We rushed to Manila and we couldn't clear the visa clearance because we were 9G and 9A holders, employment visa holders. And we were waiting at inside the hotel room, okay, waiting for clearance. And that moment I received another call. My elder sister had stage 4 cancer. She passed away and she was pregnant. She passed away 1 year later and the baby was also gone. Both of us were in the lowest moments of our life. Did God care? Then as you were sitting down there, okay, we were shocked. I mean, Pastor Lily, sorry, my elder sister told my mom that her husband wants to have 4 children. And she said that, okay, I'll just give him 4, but no more than that. She couldn't give him 4. She just died. of stage 4 cancer. And she was only 30 years old. 30 years old! And I switched on the television. We were very troubled, very down in our life. And there was this old classical movie on the television called It's a Beautiful Life. But there was this part, of the movie that really caught my attention. It was as if God was talking to me. There was this main actor, he was so discouraged, in life. Because he was planning for this, planning for that, but you go against his plan, and he was so discouraged. And his discouragement was noted in heaven, and the scene switched to heaven, and there was three bright stars in heaven, and they were communicating. It was as if God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were communicating about this man. And one of the big stars, God the Father, said to the Son, "You have to go down. You have to go down. That man is so discouraged. He's so discouraged by life that he cannot go on anymore. He's losing his faith. You have to go down." I tell you, when I saw that, I just cry. What I learned from that chapter in our life is that life is uncertain. And God knows what is happening. But He will encourage us. We did pull through that period. We became stronger as a result. I've been a pastor for 38 years. Okay, 38 years. Okay, about 40. When you remember, when you see the word, when you celebrate the celebrating the 40th anniversary of this church, we are going to say, bye-bye, we are going already. But I've been a pastor for 38 years. You know, I've seen men die on my hand. Holding his head. I see the eyes that is the light of life slowly turn blurred. See, when a man died, the brightness of the eyes started dim and become blurred. I saw it personally. I saw a life just go away from him. I've seen young people pass away at the prime of their life. I've seen young men make plans, travel to Singapore to work. And less than a year, he died while sleeping. You call it mangu guma. Okay, I don't know what you call that. I've seen husband shot dead. And his life taken away from the wife that is from this church. I've seen members left church because of disagreement with members and even the pastors. And there are no more in this world. Oh, don't say that because I'm a pastor, I have immunity from problem. No. I just shared with you about Pastor Lily's father and my sister. My daughter Jen, had an accident. Her scar was opened up. Until today, she still has a horseshoe line on her head. Please, I have my share of suffering and trials. But what is the difference? What is the difference? I read to you. You must read this verse properly. Go back and remember this verse. Isaiah 50, 10 to 11. That says this. Who is among you that fear the Lord? That obey the voice of His servant? That walk in darkness and at no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Behold, all ye, this is another group, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with spark and walk in the light of your fire, and there's a spark that you have kindled, then you shall have of my hand, from the hand of God, you shall lie down in sorrow. God is speaking to a group of people, and I pray that you are in this group of people, the first group of people. They fear God. They obey the voice of God. They obey the voice of the servant. Yet walk in darkness and have no light. He's confused. He couldn't understand things around him. God, tell this man to trust you in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Fix his mind upon God. Fix his focus upon God. And God will give him perfect peace and God will rescue him in the nick of time. Yet there's another group of people that light their own fire. Make their own plan. Kindle their own fire. You know what happened to this group of people? This they shall have from the hand of God. They shall receive this from the hand of God. They shall lie down in sorrow. Isaiah 50, 11 to 10 to 11 apparently give a contrast to two kinds of lights. The first light, the person that fear God. The darkness, the intense darkness of those You know, you can be a Christian. You still can be not understanding what is happening to your life. You still can experience darkness, intense darkness in your life. This group of people, he has darkness of those, but they have faith in God and his Messiah, and do not fully understand everything that is happening in your life. And when you walk, God say to him, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him rely on his God. But there's another group of people who makes their own life. Oh, I'm an evangelist. Oh, I'm a prophet. And walk in that life. Oh, I've decided to become a pastor. Which will eventually consume them. The Bible says, I didn't say that. That means they will lie down in torment. If you walk in the light of the fire, in the spark that you yourself kindled, then you shall have torment from the hand of God. Those who light fires refers to men who had their own scheme, their own gods. Because they have rejected the light of God's word. And they will face terrible punishment. You know, torment is the only word that is found here. And the verb guarantees the meaning grief, pain, displeasure. Even a place of pain. Those who light their own fire, there will be grief. There will be pain. There will be displeasure. There will be the pain of sin. There will be the curse of God. Brothers and sisters, don't light your own fire. Don't light your own fire. Even if you are confused and discouraged and couldn't get answer from God, and things are not nice, things are not fine, God says to you that fear Him, focus on me. Focus on me. Don't give up on me. Stay on me. He will deliver you in the nick of time. He will deliver you in the nick of time. Number two, life is brief. James, the brother of Jesus, expressed this truth when he wrote, Do you know what is going to happen tomorrow? For the length of your life is as uncertain as a morning fog. And now you see, it's gone. You know, during the recent earthquake in Turkey, the latest count is 47,000 people have died. It was said that one day before the quake, the birds were manifesting, running, they were having unusual behavior. Chirping, dogs were making noises, and thousands are flying. The birds were, the thousands were flying everywhere. And the lightnings was showing continuously. I show you two videos that was taken just before the earthquake of Turkey. This one.
Earthquake lies occur during or before the earthquake, with lightning, bolts of light and various flashes.
Even nature and the animal kingdom was aware that something was serious and it was about to take place. Only we human, they're so far from God, couldn't see the sign. The animal kingdom knew about it. Nature knew about it. Even the angels knew. But we human don't know. Because we are so out of tune with God. With the Heavenly Father, that we couldn't sense danger is coming. Pastor Lily was sharing on Friday night with the youth church that our antenna, our Wi-Fi with God has been cut off for a long, long time, that we couldn't sense danger anymore. Life is brief. We glide along the tide of time as swiftly as the raging river and vanishes as quickly as a dream. We are the grass that is green in the morning, but mold out and withered before the evening shadows fall. 1 Peter 1:24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withered, and the flower thereof falleth. Even our natural life will fade as grass when it becomes all brown and dry. All our greatness is like the flower that drops and fails. Everything in life, possession, accomplishment, will eventually fade away and disappear. You know, I look at Steve Jobs, one of the smartest guys that created Apple. He died young. He had liver cancer. Sorry, pancreatic cancer. I cannot remember liver or pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer. I mean, all he's doing, all his possession, all his accomplishment is just a news on the newspaper. Just presume you survive all this that I just described. The healthiest man will live 150 years old, which I doubt anybody has done that. That could be one in a billion. In the Philippines, because of your agricultural lifestyle occupation, it keeps you healthy. You are said to live longer than others. But even that, you don't live to 120. And with the advancement in science and technology, we live longer. But what for? You live longer. You live like that. 80, 90. You are useless, despised, ineffective, just waiting to die. Life is brief. Number three, the future is hidden. You do not know the future. We not only do not live a long life, we do not know about tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not of yourself tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. You don't even know what is going to happen tomorrow. Ecclesiastes 9:12 says, for a man knoweth not his time, as a fish that is taken in the net, and as a bird that is caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time. I just read in Hong Kong, there's this socialite, very pretty lady, very young, very famous lady. They found her. Her head was chopped off. Her body was all cut in pieces. You were trying to make her go through the machine. And it was her quarrel with her ex-husband and the brothers or the family of the ex-husband that caused her, because of $10 million, she lost everything. You don't know. She was very pretty, very well known. Just happened 2-3 days ago. I'm not talking about long, long ago. I'm talking about just a few days ago. Life is short, uncertain. Yet the future is hidden from us. And men are still putting their trust in themselves, in their own plan, in their own desire. We give our energy, we give our intellect, we give our emotion to work. The danger of life given to work. Life that is given. I've seen people who give their energy, their mind to their work. They slog day and night, spend years on their whole life on their job. Then suddenly they realize that they are old. All their youth are gone. The mind is not as fast as before. I'm telling you, I'm 62. The mind is not as fast as before. Fear starts to grip them. They have forgotten to please God, to remember God, and they are meeting Him soon, and they are afraid. They have done nothing towards God, and they call themselves a Christian. I've seen a lady so rich, planned so much to get those money, and she just like that, gone. You know, Job said this, for I know that they will bring me to death to the house appointed for all living. For I know that they will bring me to death to the house appointed for all living. I can't. The danger of life given to the world. There are a group of people that put their life to the pleasure of this world. They say, I'm young, take it easy. I'm beautiful, relax. I have a lot of friends. I will enjoy the party and the fun. One day you will wake up and realize that you're no more young. In your heart, you'll know that you have wasted your life. And you have not done anything to serve God. The basket you're supposed to present to God at the pearly gate is empty. You led a life of sin and evil. God is not pleased with you. Death is drawing near. Are you not afraid? Give your life to God in the day of your youth. You know, Pastor Lily and me, we served God when we were young. Okay, now we are old. No, every time we think, no, we've done We've given our life to God. So we are not afraid of the future. We are just not afraid. Please do not misquote me by saying that seeking security for a better standard of living is wrong. No, some of you, because you serve God, God gave you security. God gave you a better standard of living. Okay, it can be seen in your life. Okay, so don't say that. There's nothing wrong with this. But it is pursuing all these things without God that is wrong. It's regarding, disregarding God's rightful claim of your time, your resources, your acting, and you're acting on your own possession. Life is uncertain. Life is brief. The irony of it all is that you wasted it away without fear of God. I conclude. I'm finishing. How about a life lived for God? The life lived for God is totally different for those who live to please God. They know the teachings and the laws of God and they learn to obey them. Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of God. In the law he doeth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruits in this season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. In this brief life, you will be blessed. A life given to God. You will not be afraid of death. Now, I remember this story about a pastor, my friend. He was telling me that he was taking this plane with his wife, and the plane nosedive. Of course, he was afraid, but he was secure, knowing that whatever happens, it is not the end. He's going to heaven. His life is in God's hand. But he was shocked at his wife's reaction. She was screaming on top of her voice. She was in hysteria. She was crying in hysteria. And she was on her knees in the plane, trembling, crying to God for mercy. She was filled with fear. Is she not prepared to meet her Creator? You know, Pastor Lee and me, we know this lady. Somehow we have a sense that she's not. Just not. Not what she says she is. We always felt that. But God knows. God knows. What happened to a life that is lived for God? One, you are assured of the future. Nothing is certain in the world, but we can assure of His care and protection, even the future. You are sure of the future. Their place will be found in heaven. Wow, beautiful. Beautiful. Life is brief, but your place is found in heaven. Enoch said this. Hebrews 11:5. Enoch trusted God too. And that is why God took him away to heaven without dying. Suddenly he was gone because God took him. Before this happened, God has said how pleased God was with Enoch. Enoch lived to please God. He walked so close to God, he never died. God took him. The example of Enoch is an encouragement to those who live to please God. Life is uncertain, but live for God. And Enoch, God took Enoch. God promised to bring us to heaven as He promised to bring Enoch to heaven. No, it is said that, I finished. It is said that even life is so uncertain, yet we live a life. Many of us, we live a life as if that we are going to live eternally. We fail so miserably. And our faith fails so many times. We live for the world. We live for the world. And for our career. And for our business. And we fail. We totally fail. What? When it comes to the uncertainty of life. But there is a person that did not fail. There's a man, a greater man, who did not fail. And the person is Jesus. Jesus knew that life is uncertain, but he lived for God. Jesus' life was brief. He lived only under the age of 33. He did not live his life for the work of this world. He said, I must work the work of him that called me. Amen. The night cometh where he cannot work anymore. He did not live for the pleasure of this world. You know, I love what they talk about Moses. He chose to serve God rather than pleasures of this world. He chose God than the pleasure of this world. Yet he went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross for all the failures we have failed today. There is a hope. So that if you come to him today, your failures of your life, the uncertainties of life, and believe and trust in Jesus, you have the assurance that he forgives you. And he will usher you to heaven one day as you serve him from today onwards. He died so that you can have life. He died so they can have access to the Heavenly Father. So that your short life can count for eternity. Jesus died on the cross so that you don't have to experience the defeat of life. So that you can understand that life can be beautiful. Life can be used for the glory of God. Jesus did it. And they've given you the power to overcome and give you the victories. That you can live a life of victory. A useful, brief life. Please, I want to say, I'm not against anybody that do business here. But I'm asking you, are you doing it with God in mind? I'm not against anybody trying to go abroad or what. But I'm asking you, is it the will of God? If the Lord wills, then I'll do this, then I'll do that. Shall we all stand up? Musician, please help me.